Well, tonight, again, I want to speak further on faith. I believe the Lord, for the time being, is just quickening messages and speaking again that is the way, that is what we were introduced to, was the faith teaching, the deeper life. And God isn't going to lose how we walk for our circumstances, whatever. At the end of the day, we have to settle, it is by faith that I will make it into the kingdom of God. And it is no other way. And thank God the message does not change. Even though circumstances change, politics change, leaders change, fashions change, everything, God's word never changes. And we thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. And tonight I'm calling our teaching, faith will always triumph. Faith will always triumph. And I want to give you from the scriptures tonight why I'm calling this title, that faith will always triumph. Because the operation of faith is sovereign. And that is why it will triumph. And I'm basing this tonight from Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. I've said that the operation of faith, that is faith to believe, will triumph. Because in nature it is sovereign. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we read from that faith is sovereign. Because Jesus walked by faith, and we're told that Jesus, God, is the author and finisher of our faith, and we're shown that Jesus walked by the same principle, because it goes on, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And through that faith walk which we're talking about, he now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we likewise walk the same in nature. It is no different. And so that is how we're to walk, brothers and sisters. And so as we read here, Jesus is the author and the finisher. Or in other words, he is the originator or the perfecter of our faith. So he is the origin. He's the source. The idea of faith doesn't come out of man's thinking or mind or theology in that sense. It comes from God. And so it's from him, and we know it to be a gift. Therefore, he's the originator. He's the originator of faith. And therefore, because it is a gift, it is a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, it has to be perfected, worked upon. And this is why we keep with the faith. We walk by faith because faith is a fruit that is being perfected. And we make it into the kingdom of God by faith. Not by sight. Not by good works. Not by suggestions or ideas or whatever it would be. It is by faith we make it into the kingdom of God. We receive Christ as Savior on the basis of faith. Whether you felt an anointing, whether you felt clean after you received Christ as Savior, whatever it would be, and many do have an experience after receiving Christ as their personal Savior. Yes, I did. I had a sense of filthy bandages being unwrapped from me. But even with that experience, I soon had to learn that whatever, I have to still walk by faith. And how modern evangelism today is so losing the sight of all of this. But there's no other way. And so faith will always triumph because it is a sovereign work of the Spirit. We're told also in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, which you know very well, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith," or by his faithfulness. Who does it live by? Whom do we live by? Whose faith? His faith. So God doesn't have to believe. God doesn't have to love. He is love. He is faith. He is everything other than we are. There's not one shred of unbelief in Almighty God. He is faith, and therefore he spoke faith. Genesis 1 and 2, and the world was created by the speaking of the word. There wasn't a shred of unbelief when God spoke the word and life became. The world became. The stars became. Man became created in his image. There wasn't one shred of unbelief. And that is why he's the author and finisher of your faith. And because faith is a sovereign work of the Spirit of God, therefore he says he's going to perfect that faith. Back again, which I've just read to you in Hebrews 12 verse 2. He's the perfecter because he's the originator and it comes from him. And that is why he's working with us, brothers and sisters, perfecting that faith which he has, which he spoke the world into being. And that is the same faith that Jesus walked by, and it will be the same faith that the church will walk by in the last day. And that is where the greater works will come from as a result. Because God will always bless and reward faith. How do I know? Because God cannot deny himself. When there is faith, when there is believing, there is God. There's that gift that he has given, being the author and finisher of it. So when faith is present, that is God present. That is Christ's presence. And when he is present, he comes with healing and deliverance in his wing. And that's why we hold on to the promises of God's word. Hallelujah. We also see this in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith," or again, his faithfulness. So the reason of faith will always triumph, and the operation of faith is a sovereign work of the Spirit. Why? Because the revelation of God and salvation can only by faith, and when we see by faith, we are seeing by revelation. God, revelation. They that worship him taught by the Spirit of God. And when you deal with the Spirit of God, the revelation of God, you are dealing with faith. It is already just read here. I've read this out to you. Again, let's remind ourselves, particularly in verse 17. "For in it," that is in salvation, the power of God, he says, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed." What is the righteousness of God? That is God's standard, God's holiness. That is God. And he says, by revelation, by the new birth, by faith, that standard, his righteousness, is imputed to us. He makes us righteous. And so by making us righteous, he makes us right before him. And so being right before him, we have a stand also before him. And all of that is appropriated by faith. What is faith? I choose to believe against all odds. I choose to believe on how I feel, what my life is like, what I am going through, what my trials are. I choose to believe by faith. That is how I stand, and that is how I walk. And he who's begun that work in me will bring me through. There is no other way, brothers and sisters, we will stand as Christians. If you want to go by emotions, by feelings, forget it. Now, they can have a place, don't get me wrong. But I know too many Christians who will only believe if God blesses them, or they can get their own way, or they can feel the goosey bumps, or they just feel that God loves me. Oh, I'll move mountains for God. We don't. We don't. The righteousness of God stand by faith. Why? Because it's revealed to us. How is it revealed? Here it is. From faith to faith. In other words, faith moves on. When it says faith to faith, because faith is a fruit, it's developing. So faith is all the while moving on to the next step of faith, to the next plateau. Every day we walk a walk of faith, and in that day we face mountains. And so the faith of yesterday is not sufficient, has been dealt with and cast away as far as the east is to the west. God has pronounced us as just and right in his presence, because Jesus has paid the price. And we receive that by faith. And revelation has to reveal for faith to be fed. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. But the word of God has to be revealed to us. And it's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, who is now our teacher. And so he reveals God's will. And so the revelation of God and salvation can only be revealed by faith. Let's look at it further. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, he is faithful. He calls us. And so, he says he is faithful, which he is, and because he's faithful, by whom you were called, you're called into fellowship with his Son, in Jesus Christ our Lord. We're actually called in fellowship with the Godhead. We're called in fellowship with God. And so this idea of fellowship, this Greek word koinonia, because there is fellowship, complete unity and harmony in the Godhead, so we're called into that fellowship. Some have referred it as being baptized into that fellowship, into that unity and oneness. Because that's what the baptism of the Spirit does. The Spirit baptizes us into the body, into the unity and the oneness, which isn't denominational. It is spiritual. Our meeting tonight, brothers and sisters, is spiritual. This is a living organism, not organization. Bring us under the headship of Christ with the Holy Spirit teaching us, guiding us and leading us. And so, as he says here, he's faithful. And so because he's faithful, he says, I can call you and I will call you and I call you into fellowship. He's not called you into becoming a Roman Catholic, or an Anglican, or a Baptist. He's called you into fellowship with God the Father, into the Godhead. That is profound. That is the mystery. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Ephesians. And how is all this appropriated? On the basis that I choose to believe. And if any of us are battling tonight, then you can even say to God, Lord, help thou my unbelief. For I desire to believe. I desire to believe what the Spirit is saying here tonight. Because he is faith. He is faithful. That's what it is. He is faith. He is faithful. And that faith, because he's faith, he says, I've given you that gift of faith. If God doesn't give us the gift of faith, we're not going to be saved. We don't stand a chance. That's why we walk by faith. You make it into the kingdom of God. Because he has given that gift in order to believe. And I might add that that faith, which is a gift to believe, comes in empowerment as well. It is so powerful that it can deal with the flesh life, it can deal with the intellect, it can deal with everything that we are attacked by if we hold to the faith. It will deal with it. It will deal with it. Amen. So we stand purely by faith. Romans 11, 20. If you still don't believe it. Romans 11 and verse 20. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. And so he goes on. Of course, what he's speaking about here, Israel, through unbelief, didn't make it into the kingdom of God. But he says quite clearly here that you stand by faith. Period. Nothing else. Do you want anything else? Do you want any signs? You ain't going to get it. Because faith is the sign. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you want the sign? Do you want the evidence? Look at your word. Hold that Bible in your hand, and there it is. That is the evidence of God. His promises, which are yes and amen to us. The 66 books that we hold, that is God's word to us. And it is on the basis of choosing to believe. It is by faith that we stand. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And he says here, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And it goes on how we're hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. What I find so interesting, wherever you see faith, or walking by faith or whatever it is, it's not far when you read it that there's also the trials that are attached to it as well in some form or some way. It's quite interesting how suddenly it's like a light comes on and you see it. But he says here that these treasures in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power of God, power may be of God and not of us. So faith, which is God's gift, faith which is sovereign, God has chosen to do it that way, and it's quite obvious, because it reveals the power of God and not of us. That is why no man can boast in any of this. Faith will not let you boast. Because the proud, the intellect, the religious can't walk it. They try it, but they can't. And the reason being is, because when they try to do it in their own strength, they try to believe in their own strength and their own mind, that never glorifies God. God has not chosen to glorify himself in that way. God knows the way that he glorifies himself, and that is that we walk by faith, and if we choose to walk by faith, then that is the power of God, and it is of him and not of us. Because nobody can walk this in the natural. It is absolutely impossible to walk this walk by faith. You can't do it. It is a gift, and it is grace, and it is mercy. That is why the scriptures show us that God first loved us. It wasn't in us to love him. And if it were not for faith, which is a gift, and revelation, opening our eyes to see that gift of faith, no one will make it in. Hallelujah. So there, I've shown you from the scriptures the operation of faith and why faith is sovereign. Because it is a sovereign work of faith will always triumph. It will always triumph because the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, stands by faith and not by sight. And faith can never be destroyed. Because faith is a revelation of God. It is God opening our eyes to walk by faith and not by sight. And that is why we have the Word of God that moves us from faith to faith to faith. And so that is why, as we open up the Word, and we have done over these years, and we have embraced the promises of God, what are these promises that God teaches us and shows us so that we move on from faith to faith to faith? So that we can start to believe that God will supply all my needs. And that I don't have to be full of anxiety and frustration and worry about the bills that come in and so on. Because God will supply. He will pay for those bills. And certainly we do need to be faith. Because I don't know about you, every bill I get through the door now always increases. Never goes down. And so that is how we walk. Not only that, but for our healing, for our provision, believing for our family, for our loved ones. We come into the realization of this because faith moves on from faith to faith to faith. And so we're going to be challenged in faith. And it's the best thing that we'll ever face. All Christians, all healthy churches need to be challenged by faith. That's what keeps us moving forward. That's what keeps the church standing, overcoming, because we need the challenges of faith. This is why Jesus, when he walked in his flesh, was challenging the faith of the people, and especially the disciples. That's ultimately what he was doing. And the challenge was that he always presented faith where they couldn't do it, where they weren't in control. It was completely beyond them. And it was exposing unbelief. They are the challenges of faith. Faith is to challenge unbelief. The challenges of faith are to remove unbelief in us. Now, some Christians get offended when you start to say there's unbelief or you're not believing. How dare you? You know? But that is exactly what faith is. Jesus did it. He did it with the disciples, and the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher today, he still does it today. And that is why we move from faith to faith, because God knows from that one step to the next step, in between the two, you've got unbelief that's got to be dealt with. So you get to the next one. But it is a sovereign work. God has never saved you in order for you to be able to work your faith out in that sense in yourself. Now, we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, which simply means that very often it is a repenting of our unbelief, but it is in that repenting where there comes that healing, that forgiveness, in order for faith to flow. That is why we're being saved. And our being saved is very much coupled, often, with repentance. You know, I heard one Christian say to me not so long ago, I don't know whether there's something wrong with me, but there doesn't go a day when I don't have to repent of something. There's got to be something wrong with me. I said, no, there's not, brother. I said, you're on the right road. I said, you're getting it right. Now, it wasn't that he wasn't forgiven, because he was knowing the forgiveness of God. He was knowing the joy of the presence of God. But there's still, he said, where I miss it. And I need to tell him and come clean. I said, that's simply God moving unbelief from your faith. And that is how we're to walk. And that's why the great apostle said, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is why I'm always saying we have to walk close with him. Because he's our Redeemer. And what does he do? He redeems us. He cleanses us. He washes us with the word of God. What is he doing tonight, brothers and sisters, as we're all here, whether in this place or in the room? He's washing us by the word of God, so that keeps us in standing in his presence, which is needful. We have to face the fact that not all are in faith. And it's just a fact. There is a terrible lot of unbelief in a lot of churches today, where they will only just take faith so far. But my Bible doesn't show that you take faith just so far. Faith goes all the way. Because faith will take us into glory. So there's no limitations to faith. There's no sort of arriving, I've arrived now at the faith. Why, Jesus never even said, I've arrived in faith. He still walked by that principle. He prayed that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. What was he doing there? Still believing. Still pressing in. That the Father would not leave him or forsake him, but would raise him up in glory. And his faith now, as I read to you earlier, means he now sits on the right hand of the Father. There's the rewards of faith for Jesus. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And not only that, but he says, I'll share that faith with you. As he shares everything with us. He's sharing his heart with us tonight. He's sharing his love, his fellowship with us tonight, as we all come together in unity and oneness of the Spirit. What does it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a promise. Do we all believe in the promises of God? I hope so. What does the Lord say here? He says, but the Lord is faithful, here we are, who will establish you, make you resolute, in other words, and guard you from the evil one. Who's going to be your guard? He is. And it's that is appropriated on the basis of believing. Jesus is my guard from the evil one. And I choose to believe it. Whatever's going on, whatever the devil's trying to suggest, whatever, he is my God. Why? Because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Wish to God more believers would hold to that, then we wouldn't see the apostasies that we have today and the falling away. Acts 24, verses 23 to 28. This is where Paul wants his appeal before Caesar. In Acts 24, let's take it up from verse 23. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul. Hang on, sorry, I'm thinking. I was right. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife, I think I'm reading the wrong one here. I've written down the wrong verse. I'm terribly sorry about this. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm sorry about this. I've written the wrong chapter down. But again, it's speaking where the apostle's speaking about truth, the word of God, and not listening to those who would come in to destroy the church through deceiving spirits, wrong teachers, and so on. Again, he's encouraging and admonishing the saints not to listen to these deceivers. And in fact, the Apostle Paul many, many times encouraged and admonished the believers to stay close with Christ. They're all through the epistles and the writings of Paul. And a lot of them, most of them, we know them very, very well. But we know that we live in dangerous times. It's Acts 20, is it? Right, let's have a look. Acts 20, 28. Yes, we found it. Praise the Lord. It's in Acts 20, verses 23 to 28. Thank you, Father. Acts 20 and 23:1. Except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that the chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so it goes on. Yes, thank you for that. So the apostle, he labored in this warning that there would come in those who would try to twist and pervert the gospel. And we've got a gospel today that is so liberalized, that is so worldly, that is so sensual, that is dominated now instead of by the Holy Spirit, by man's pride and man's intellect. And so man is trying in his intellect to spiritualize and interpret the word of God. And it breeds nothing but confusion and unbelief. The word of God is supernatural. Faith is supernatural. Your walk, your belief is supernatural. And God does supernatural things through you and I. And flesh and blood cannot reveal it. It is by revelation. That is why we hold on to these promises. And we're again going to see in the last days the Lord manifesting himself. Diseases being healed. Not trying to heal people. Not trying to create a revival. And all these odd things that go on today. It will come just simply on the base of believing. And God is going to get us to a place of faith believing where it's just like breathing. None of us are trying to breathe tonight. And if you are, we'll pray for you afterwards. But we're just breathing. Our hearts are just beating away because we believe that God's Spirit is in us. He has given us life. And that is what our belief is going to be. It's just going to flow just like believing. Why? Because faith is a sovereign work of the Spirit. Faith is sovereign, and it is a gift, and it is God. It is his gift. It is the same faith that he spoke the world into being. You were created, and it is the same faith that resides in your spirit, in your heart. And that is why he's the author and finisher of it. Brothers and sisters, we can't go wrong in this. How we listen to the devil. We cannot go wrong. But you see, the Apostle Paul, as I read, he showed that some will have a form of faith. But you know something? God knows how to expose even those who have a form of faith. And he knows how to do it. Yes, you guessed it. Trials. Trials will show whether faith is genuine or not. And that's why our trials are to get us in faith and from faith to faith. I don't know about you, and I'm sure most of you can agree with, but every time there's that step of faith, there's always pain and a trial that goes with it. The world even says there's no gain without pain. Well, how much more? This walk of faith. I always know when I'm in faith because the enemy is attacking it. Yes. There's trials. And he's trying to get me to compromise. To draw back from my stand of faith. So of course it's a good giveaway every time. But that is what sorts out the men from the boys. But you know, faith in many ways needs trials to reveal that it's genuine. How will you know if you have genuine faith unless it has been challenged? Hallelujah. Now if you tonight, brothers and sisters, are being challenged in your walk of faith, your stance of faith, then you are on the right course. Because faith needs the trials. And that is why we're being saved through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here it is. He says, for by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It's not yourself trying to believe. It is the gift of God. They've got that right in the Greek. It is the gift. And that's what makes it sovereign. It's not a gift. Not God has given me a gift of salvation, of faith. It is the gift. And that makes quite a difference, because that makes it sovereign. Clear cut. No messing about. And so we see what faith does in God's hands. What does faith do in God's hands? It causes him to move, to speak. As he spoke the world into being, so faith in God's hand causes him to act upon the promise that he has made. So if you are believing for healing, his hands move and touches your body. If you are believing God for deliverance, his hand moves to deliver you and set you free. And I could go on and on and on with all these promises that God has given. That is why Jesus moved by that principle in his earthly ministry. And many, many times he challenged the people to find out where they were, whether they were on the basis of believing or not. And as a result of it, they received by faith what they were believing for. And so we triumph because he has promised. And that's why I call in this teaching, faith will always triumph, now as I bring it to an end, because faith will triumph simply because he's promised. These are not promises I'm making up. This isn't a good idea. Let's talk about the promises of God. I think it's a good idea. It's not like that at all. It's because they are revealed to us by the Spirit, by revelation. We're receiving this by revelation tonight because faith needs the revelation of God to move from faith to faith. And this is why we don't see much faith today in a lot of churches, because the anointing's not there to teach it. Hallelujah. Finally, Hebrews 10:23. We all know this well and probably got it underlined, but it speaks the point that I'm saying here. In Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope or our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So our faith to believe, which is a gift, and it's sovereign, it is of God, is on the basis of confessing. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through today. And you're talking about me confessing? I feel awful. Confess it. Just confess what God says. You're feeling awful tonight? You're battling the flu or a cold or a sickness? Okay, those symptoms are real, but confess what God says, that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. That is my confession, and that is what I'm saying right now. And eventually the enemy has to retract. He has to give up. He has to let go of our bodies where he's holding us in sickness. He has to let go where he's holding us or pressing us in our mind and wrong thinking and so on. Anything where we're aware the enemy is trying to hold us, imprison us, confess it, believe it, continue to walk from faith to faith, and eventually he has to let go. I'm convinced that's how the church is going to be raptured. Eventually he has to let go. So there's only one alternative. Jesus says, come up. Because she's walked by making herself ready, which the bride does. She's walked from faith to faith to faith to faith. Our walking from faith to faith is making ourselves ready, is it not? It's our deliverance. Hallelujah. So faith will triumph. Hold on. Stay in there. Don't give up. He started that work. He will complete and finish it. He has said he will. He is faithful. He has made no mistake over your life. He's made no mistake in opening your eyes and ears to see Jesus, to see forgiveness, to see the blood of Christ that atones. He's made no mistake. He's made no mistake in opening your eyes to embrace and see the promises of God. He's made no mistake, brothers and sisters. You are the perfect will of God. If we want to see the perfect will of God, I believe this meeting tonight is an expression of the perfect will of God for his glory. Amen. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you first loved us. Lord, we just thank you that your Spirit is giving us life. Lord, it's removing those hindrances, those oppressions, those things where the devil just hates this and tries to stop us, but nothing will stop because God is on the march. Jesus is fighting for us. He has gone before and prepared the way. And nothing is going to stop him from triumphing because he has already triumphed. And now the church must triumph. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that we will keep our eyes on you. Let not our faith fail, but that we will ever move from faith to faith, simply confessing, holding on, believing, embracing those promises. Whether we feel rough, whether we've had a bad day, whether the enemy's trying to suggest his lies, whatever. Where faith is concerned, it's got nothing else to do with feelings or emotions. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight. Thank you for our meeting. Thank you for our brothers and sisters who come in all around the world to come and share and to listen. Father, I thank you that their very presence tonight makes up this meeting. Their very presence here is the body of Christ. Those who love Christ, who love his word, who walk by the Spirit. Lord, we thank you tonight. Thank you, you've made it possible. And so I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep each one of us until we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So my love for you is lifted by the sun. Washed us in his word.